97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, good morning, Philadelphia. Andrew Salchunas in for Anthony for the brief moment. There, every single road coming into Philadelphia seems to be flooded right now. So Anthony will be here in a few minutes. You know, a lot of people dealing with the traffic. I was dealing with the traffic coming in today. Manayunk was completely flooded. All kinds of areas in Philadelphia flooded today. So Anthony will be here momentarily. And we'll get in a lot of stuff today because we have four games in Philadelphia today. Four games will be played in Philadelphia today, two with the Phillies because of their doubleheader. We have the Union tonight in the semifinals at 8 o'clock, and of course, the Sixers will play their third game live from the bubble in Orlando today. So it's going to be a crazy day throughout the day with all kinds of sports action, and also outside of Philadelphia, of course. But tomorrow, we have the Flyers returning. But today, four different games. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be interesting to see how a lot of you kind of handle your sports day, because I'm going to try to watch every single one. And I know Anthony's going to try to watch every single one, too. And you start right at 4 o'clock, where both the Sixers and Phillies are on at the same time. And as I've talked about multiple times, Sixers take precedence right now because they're gearing up for the playoffs, and there's still so many question marks. There's still so many unknowns when it comes to this team. And because the Phillies have that terrible bullpen, but the Sixers will take precedence. And it's going to be interesting to see how a lot of you handle the 4 o'clock start. Do you do the TV for one game, the laptop for the other? That's what I'll end up doing. And then tonight, it'll be the second game of the Phillies doubleheader. And then, of course, the Union game starts at 8 o'clock. So, busy day throughout Philadelphia sports, an exciting day throughout Philadelphia sports. And it's all coming out of nowhere, right? We went 4 months with no sports. We were dying for sports. Now, the Union came back first. MLS came back first before any other of the four major sports. If you want to go five majors, MLS came back first. So it's been nice to have some soccer. But now that all of a sudden the Phillies are back and they go 8 days without playing because of everything that happened with the Miami Marlins, but now they're back and they're going to have to play doubleheaders, it seems like, every other week or every week, because they got to finish the 60 games in what used to be 65 days. Now it's, what, 56 games left in about 54 days? It's going to be something crazy for the Phillies that they're going to have to try to accomplish, and hopefully everybody can stay healthy and remain healthy. And, you know, I watched Jake Arrieta's press conference the other day after their loss to the Yankees, and he talked about how well everybody in the Phillies have been following the health protocol, so that's good. So hopefully the Phillies do their part and continue to remain, you know, safe and healthy and can get back to action and not have another halt. Now, of course, it depends on what teams around the league are also doing. The St. Louis Cardinals are having a lot of issues. Yadier Molina, the big name, testing positive for COVID-19 with St. Louis. And you then have to look at, all right, who have St. Louis played? They played Minnesota. And that's going to be the same thing. You're going to have to find out if contact tracing is really hurtful in Major League Baseball. Now, hopefully, the Phillies sort of set that precedence where even though there are 18 members of the Miami Marlins who tested positive, there were no members of the Phillies who tested positive. So that's a good sign for Major League Baseball. Hopefully it remains that way. But now all of a sudden we have baseball, we have basketball, hockey has already started, and we have another game from the Toronto bubble tomorrow for the Flyers. But it seems like we're going to have a lot of these days where there's 2 to 3 to 4 games because of Phillies doubleheaders. And we're going to have to get ready for it. And we're going to have to get used to it. Because as Anthony keeps on saying, we are a 4-for-4 town. And we follow all four of these teams basically religiously. So now, you know, listen, giddy up, right? Gear up, be ready, make sure you're paying attention to all these sports. And today's a big day with all four teams being played. Another interesting conversation that we're going to have throughout the show today. And I was watching Sports Rise this morning on NBC Sports Philadelphia. And it was a conversation that Derek Gunn was having with Barrett Brooks on Quick Slants. And it was the idea of needing to quarantine a quarterback. And it's because, you know, if you see one area of the locker room, the wide receiver room, the quarterback room, the deep front room, when one person gets it, and we saw this with the Miami Marlins, we've seen this with the St. Louis Cardinals, COVID-19 spreads pretty quickly. We've seen this, you know, it's documented. So what happens if it's in the quarterback room? Well, you might have a quarterback factory, as Howie Roseman so famously said, but if one guy gets it, it's going to be pretty quick when you have 4 or 5 that get it. So they're talking about the idea of putting a quarterback in quarantine. And Barrett Brooks mentioned doing it with Nate Sudfeld because obviously you need Carson Wentz to get his reps, his first team reps. He's the franchise quarterback. He's got a rookie wide receiver in Jalen Reagor. He's got to get used to DeSean Jackson because he only had him for a game and a half last year. He's got two other rookies in Quez Watkins and Hightower. So there's a lot of rookies out there, a lot of new guys that Carson Wentz has to get comfortable with. So you can't just have Carson Wentz be the one that's quarantined. And you can't do it with Jalen Hurts because Jalen Hurts is a rookie quarterback who needs to learn the system. And all the other quarterbacks that they have in this faux quarterback factory, I mean, they're not even going to make the team really anyway, but they have to figure things out. Nate Sudfeld was Barrett Brooks' decision choice of the quarterback that you need to quarantine because he at least knows the offense. Because again, if Carson Wentz, God forbid, gets COVID-19, it could be quickly passed on to Jalen Hurts. And then Jalen Hurts could quickly pass it on to the next quarterback. And then all of a sudden you have no quarterback for week one on September 13th. And it's kind of is it terrible to think this way, or is it a strategic way to think about it? And I guess it's more so strategic that you have to have one guy just sort of hangs out and is called upon if necessary. And maybe that's Nate Sudfeld. Derek Gunn, on the other hand, said you shouldn't do it because everybody needs to get their reps in anyway, and you kind of just have to, I guess you could say, risk it. But it's going to be interesting to see how the Eagles or how any team really handles this. Is there going to be an alert that we get that so-and-so, this team is quarantining so-and-so player, so-and-so quarterback, so that just in case something happens, they are ready to go? That's the kind of dark waters that we're swimming in right now. We're trying to figure out everything that goes along in the process leading up to the NFL season. So we're going to get into that as well as the crazy sports schedule that we have today. Again, this is Andrew Salchunas. Anthony will be in momentarily. The weather yesterday, which we'll talk about that too, I'm sure. The weather yesterday just completely destroying, you know, ways to get into Philadelphia today. And a lot of people dealing with that. 676 has been an absolute mess. Other roads have been closed. I know I had to turn around three different times yesterday leaving work, and I had to turn around two different times coming back to work today because there's trees down everywhere. So hopefully everybody is safe. Hopefully everybody's commute is going as safely as possible. So Anthony will be in here momentarily, and we'll talk about all kinds of stuff. We're going to get into the crazy schedule in Philadelphia sports today. Again, Sixers at 4 o'clock, Phillies at 4 o'clock. Phillies playing a doubleheader. It's the 7-inning doubleheader, the first time we'll see the Phillies do that. And I'm sure we'll get into whether or not you like that. 7 innings. It's going to be weird. I've seen sort of mixed reaction to it. One person said on the MLB Network, I forget who it was, might have been Harold Reynolds, I forget who said it, but he made a decent point. You know, how many times do you see a doubleheader where half the usual starting lineup is not playing in game one or game two? And the reason why is because they can't play 18 innings, God forbid. I've played like 21 innings in a day. But now, because it's going to be only 14 innings, because it's 2 7-inning games, maybe you'll see the everyday starting lineup in both games, aside from maybe the catcher. Maybe JT Realmuto catches game one, but because you have the DH this year, the universal DH, he plays DH in game two, or he plays first base in game two. JT Realmuto has talked about in the past where he'd rather play in the field than just DH because something that it keeps him more, I don't know, mentally focused. I don't know. Baseball players are weird. I was one of them. We are weird people. We're a weird breed. But today will be the first day that we see the 2 7-inning games for the Phillies because of the doubleheader against the New York Yankees. The Yankees will be the home team in game one. The Phillies will be the home team in game two. It's basically like your Sunday men's beer league rules where one team's the home team in game one, one team's the home team in game two. But they're both going to be played at Citizens Bank Park. So it's going to be strange for a lot of people to see first pitch today at 4 o'clock where the Phillies are actually batting first at Citizens Bank Park. But that's the crazy schedule. You got the Sixers at 4 o'clock against the Wizards, the Phillies, the doubleheader, and then you have the Union tonight at 8 o'clock in the semifinals, and if they win, they will move on to the finals on August 11th. So we got to root for our Union today as well. 5 for 5 town, as Anthony points out. The number to get in today is 610-632-0975. Other things that we're going to get into today, Chris Therrien will join the show at 11:30. He's going to talk some hockey, talk some Flyers after their big win against the Bruins, the 4-1 win on Sunday. They get ready to play the Caps tomorrow. The Caps actually lost to the Lightning in overtime the other day. So right now, the Lightning are tied with the Flyers for first place in this round-robin tournament. They both got 2 points. The Caps got the all-important point getting into overtime, so they have one right now. Bruins in dead last with 0. And Anthony mentioned it, but I don't necessarily agree. You got to kind of just play the team that's ahead of you. So to me, the round-robin tournament is important for the Flyers because you can avoid Pittsburgh in round one. And I get it. If your confidence is sky high, you don't care who you're facing if you're the Philadelphia Flyers. But to me, if you can avoid Pittsburgh in round one, I hope that they can move up. I hope that they can move up to that top seed or that second seed or that third seed and avoid playing Pittsburgh in round one. Pittsburgh currently the 5 seed. So if the Flyers can do that, go for it. I want you to be the highest seed that you can possibly be so that you can lock in a first round win. To me, and we talked about this last week when we talked about the minimum amount of success the Flyers need to have for us to ultimately call it a success this season. A lot of people saying it's already a success because they exceeded a lot of people's expectations coming into this round robin tournament as the 4th seed, the 4th best team in the Eastern Conference. But really, I mean, let's face it. The Flyers, you can change your expectations as the season goes on. And I know the stoppage was weird. It's something that we're not used to. But the Flyers are still going to be the higher seed in the first round of the playoffs. No matter who they are facing, they're going to be the first, the higher seed. So if the Flyers are the 4th seed, yeah, you know what? They'll still be the higher seed than the Pittsburgh Penguins, who will be coming in as the 5th seed. But I see so many hockey analysts say the one team that any team would want to try to avoid facing in round one or any round, really, is the Pittsburgh Penguins. They think that the Pittsburgh Penguins, who still have a lot of their veteran guys, star players who have made huge impacts throughout the NHL during their careers, well, they've been rested. So there's the statement you can make, well, the Flyers have the younger, fresher legs. They're going to be able to get right back into playing shape right away, and the older guys might not be able to handle that. But with a scrimmage that the Penguins already played against the Flyers, they're playing in their 5-game, best of 5 series. So they're going to have their skating legs not fully underneath them, but they're going to be underneath them. And if that's the case, these veterans that are now going to be back into skating shape, back into playing shape, and they're still the Pittsburgh Penguins, if you can avoid playing them in round one and hopefully somebody else can eliminate them, or if they eliminate somebody else and maybe you have to face them later down the road, I'm okay with that. I want the Flyers to move up in this round robin tournament. To me, try to get the best matchup that you can possibly get in round one, the easiest matchup that you can possibly get, because for a lot of these young guys, it's going to be the first time that they are in the Stanley Cup playoffs, in the real Stanley Cup playoffs. I know they're trying to determine or term the round robin a part of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's not. For me, it's when you finally get into a series, that's when the Stanley Cup playoffs begin. So for a lot of these young Flyers players, it's going to be the first series that they play in. And if they can get a better matchup and just sort of get their experience and get those that first round jitters away from them, and it's not against the Pittsburgh Penguins where the Penguins can beat you up if you have these jitters, right? I'd rather face a weaker team, a lesser team for the Flyers in round one, get that first round of playoff experience under your belt, and then maybe you can go on a bit of a run. So I hope the Flyers continue to win. They got the Capitals tomorrow night. Again, Capitals with the only team in the Eastern Conference. They have 1 point because they lost to the Lightning in overtime. The Bruins, the only team in the Eastern Conference round robin tournament without a point. But the Flyers currently tied with Tampa Bay with 2 points, and hopefully that can continue for the Flyers. 610-632-0975. If you're just tuning in, Anthony will be here momentarily. There's a lot of traffic, obviously, all over the place because of the weather yesterday. 676 has been closed. All these exits have been closed. I know people have been dealing with it all day long. So Anthony will be here momentarily. I'm Andrew Salchunas filling in for the brief period. I will then slide into my producer chair where the great Dylan McKinnon is currently keeping it warm for me. Thank you, Dylan. So I will be there momentarily. Anthony will be here momentarily. So a lot to get into today. Again, the number to get in is 610-632-0975. As my man is walking in right now to talk about the crazy day, not only in his commute, but the crazy day that is Philadelphia sports with the 4 games that we got. Sixers at 4, Phillies at 4, Phillies doubleheader, weird 7-inning game, and then, of course, the Union tonight at 8 o'clock.
I know. How crazy is it?
I'm so happy, though. I mean, we went through 4 months with no sports, and all of a sudden, bang.
Yeah, it is. Except you have to venture out of your house.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going
to
fly over.
If you have to venture out of your house, don't do it. All right? Trust me. Every road is closed. It's outrageous. The whole city's gridlock. It's a mess. I don't know about you guys, like your storm damage. I got trees down. It feels like it's the apocalypse. It's bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre. Crazy. Just watch yourself. Just FYI, 676 is shut down. You got to get off at Broad Street. So avoid, if you got to get across town, avoid 676. You got to take Vine Expressway. Waze app doesn't have that on there. So that's fresh. You got to just so you guys know. I mean, it's pretty bad out there. So just give yourself extra time. I left my house at 8 o'clock in Malka Hill. It's crazy. Yeah. Absolutely crazy.
Did you have fun?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
I had to run in because how many times you get stuck somewhere in the car and you know, I had coffee, right? So I drank a gigantic cup of coffee. So then my eyes are starting to turn yellow as I'm sitting in traffic.
It's either traffic or you pass the exit and you go, I can go one more.
I can make it.
And then you're like, oh God, can I turn around on this highway right now?
And like, you know, the best is like, you know, that pain that you feel. That pain, your ego.
You got the seatbelt. You're like, dude, this thing's getting too tight. This thing's pressing up.
And then you start tapping. Like, you're driving. You're tapping. You're on the foot, right? Like, yes. you're like tapping away. All right, let me try to use some of this nervous energy. Let me try to use some of this nervous energy. Get it. Please, let me get there. Oh, crazy. That's all right, because we got sports, and that's the only thing that matters. A big day of games today and tomorrow, man. Flyer hockey tomorrow right on the station. Flyers and Capitals. Cannot wait for that one. That's at 4 tomorrow. But we got games today. We got Sixers. We'll see how they look. We got two in the Phillies for as long as they play. And the Union, which has been the beast of the MLS in the semifinals. So we'll have all that straight ahead to talk about. And I got a training camp thing I got to hit you guys with. Lots to get to. It's Cuz Radio with the Chunis right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And I got to tell you about the Shaper Supply. For over 65 years, it's amazing. They're a local company, right? Right here. Family company. They're a Philadelphia-based company, and Shaper Supply has come up strong during the pandemic. Now, they know business owners, and they know that homeowners are charged with keeping their employees and customers and families safe. So check out shapersupply.com. They're going to ship your order directly to your home or business. They have the hottest product on the market, helping America fight the war on Corona. It's called Benefect Botanical Decon 30. Now, it sounds like a weapon, doesn't it? This non-flammable, non-abrasive, non-corrosive, lightly scented cleaner is the perfect disinfectant for nursing homes, right? Barbershops and salons, daycare centers, hospitals, restaurants, classrooms. You know, when you get the kids back to work, back to school. Visit shapersupply.com and learn more about this powerful COVID-19 killing agent. And as we look through the lens of the pandemic, companies like Shapers have emerged to keep us safe with germ-destroying solutions that are affordable and easy to get. The website, again, shapersupply.com. That's Shapers, S-C-H-A-P-E-R-S, supply.com.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Chris Terry and Bundy on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bundy!
Yo, cuz. Yeah, we're two of the three guys that actually have a burger at Bonzio's named after us. So you know what? That goes, you don't have that, you haven't lived life, my brother.
One of the great, the Bundy Burger, baby, is always the best. you know what's funny? I was just talking about the run in 2010. And what a great time. We were hanging out, me, you, Jason, and the whole crew. It was so much fun, man.
It was. And, you know, that was really the last special time, I think, that we've had in terms of a playoff run. And 10 years ago, Anthony, that's unbelievable you say that, because it feels like it was like 3 weeks ago. You know, we're in Chicago. Yeah. It's just a dynamic atmosphere both here in Philly and in the Windy City at the time, and it's been an interesting decade, really, until the Flyers have gotten back here. And I know we're going down the rabbit hole with this team this year, but this has been the best Flyers team, the way they've come together since that last run in 2010.
And I want to ask you, because, you know, look, we all believe that they're real, and this is just the beginning of something real special. What makes them right now? What has been in your, having covered this team all season, seeing under Alain Vigneault, and then now the restart, they come in and they don't miss a beat. What's been the biggest thing? Is it heart? Is it the depth? What do you think it is?
Well, there's three things I always look at in terms of when you have a team that you want to see like how they evolve and how they become a unit. The first thing is coaching, and I'm not putting this in any order, but what happened to the Flyers this year was the coaching element became a major factor. And Alain Vigneault was able to take his staff and have the players buy in. Because let's face it, and again, there's a lot of honesty in this, they clearly were not buying in the previous 5 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just however long it was. It was, you're in the playoffs, you lose the first round, maybe you miss the playoffs, and nobody was really talking Flyers hockey at the level that we are again now. So the coaching, he gets everyone to buy in, the leadership group. The next thing you have to have is to build that chemistry and then have everybody start to believe in what you are and who you are. And that's a huge turnover from the coach to the leadership group. And all those leaders, the guys that have either evolved or are still here, guys like Couturier, Konechny, Provorov, I've had to take a bigger bite of the apple than they had in the past, because and this is not a slight against Claude Giroux, but if Claude Giroux is your best player and the focal point of your team at this stage, you're not going to win a Stanley Cup. That's the fact of life. And maybe someone would say, oh, that's not right, but that's just the reality of the phase of sports.
Sure.
So the younger guys have to become a part of it, and then the older guys are still the biggest piece of the puzzle, because they're the ones that are given the directives. The third thing is goaltending. And you mentioned it with Hart. I can't understate the importance of having a guy that gives you a chance when maybe those nights your team just doesn't give you a chance. And that's when you need your goaltender to give you a little life. Give you an example. First period the other day against the Bruins, on Sunday. I thought Boston had a great opening 20 minutes.
Yeah.
The difference in the final score of that game is the first period that Carter Hart had when his mates weren't quite there yet. They came in the second and third period, but that to me is a big difference. Those three things: coaching, chemistry, goaltending. You can do an awful lot with it. It's really, really hard to combine them, Anthony, all at once, and that's what the Flyers have done this year, and that's what I've seen through one exhibition game and one round robin game, and that's a great sign.
Yeah, you know, and it was interesting because he took the life out of the Bruins, and then even when the game was out of hand, you could see that Boston just wanted to feel good, right? I think I think Bush even said it on the broadcast that they wanted to feel good, right? So you got, you know, Pasta Man and Marchand and Bergeron, and they're trying to trying to get one. They pulled the goalie. They had the power play. They pulled the goalie. And still he stoned them, and he frustrated them. And I think all those moments add up, and I think you're seeing the team. And you've achieved in this league. You understand about confidence, and they just seem like a really confident team.
They are, and that to me has been the part all year. I forgot. I mean, there's been a lot of great additions too that Chuck Fletcher acquired last summer. Niskanen, Braun, Hayes. I mean, really, really quality pieces. But the emergence of the young guys has been a story. Mm-hmm. The chemistry has been just so, so good. But again, to recreate, I think the worst part about what they're going through right now and being in the bubble is the fact that Philadelphia was so unbelievable for the home games this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it felt like some nights you just weren't going to lose. That's the worst part of this whole bubble thing. I think the NHL's done a great job in terms of giving it a look. I mean, it's odd when you see it overhead. You just see two teams and then nobody in the stands. But covering it up, I think they've done a good job. And when you talk to a couple players inside the bubble from here in South Jersey, and, you know, they say they've done a really good job, the NHL, in terms of how the look is. But, again, I just like the way the Flyers are playing. And if you have that kind of chemistry and camaraderie that they clearly have right now, it doesn't matter where you play or who you play in front of.
Chris Terry and Bundy with us on the Comcast Business Hotline as we break down little Flyers. And I'm curious, I mean, what they're four lines deep now. I mean, they're three defensive. They're so good top to bottom. I think that's the thing that really surprised me. That's what you bring up with the influx of the young talent, like Pitlick, right? Like kid like that, like Myers.
Pitlick's another,
you know?
Yeah, Myers. Sandlin, I mean, these are other guys. I mean, and you know, it's funny when you have a team that's like that. You know, you hope you have as many guys locked in under contract because, you know, you take the one thing year to year you can't ever recreate or have the same semblance of whatever you built the year before. You think you just flip a switch. It usually comes through your core players, but I think that's where the excitement level is for this team. You mentioned Pitlick, Myers, those guys. You know, if you look at Chicago. Yeah, they had a lot of great players at the top with Kane and Jonathan Toews, Duncan Keith at the time, Seabrook. But really, it was a lot of those depth guys at the time who were depth players that ended up becoming stars in their own right in other places, like Andrew Ladd, Dustin Bufflin.
Yeah.
We're all part of that Chicago team that won.
Right.
They went on elsewhere to have great careers. So this is really unique that there is this much depth, Anthony, up and down the lineup and through the defense corps and goaltending. This is a team I think that's set up for a run for quite a few years. It's a matter of just trying to get that first one under your belt and taking it one day at a time. I think it's really suited this team best.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you brought up the young guys, and one of the guys I love because, you know, Raffel, who had been playing really well, gets hurt. And, you know, Farabee's coming in, and I love Farabee, man. I think he's got just tremendous ability. And it's like, boom, all of a sudden. And you brought up Chuck Fletcher. And look at Grant. That was a big addition. Thompson was a big addition.
Yep. I don't see them. I don't see a hole for in any of the respective forward positions. I just don't see a hole where everybody's slotted.
Yeah.
You know, Thompson's the fourth line. The Raffel injury, that hurts. You know, I think AV had a choice before the game one whether it was going to be Raffel or Farabee. He liked Lawton at the wing a little bit more than he did at center, so I kept Thompson into the lineup. But I think when you look at it, I mean, that Raffel's a bigger body. He can skate. Great guy in the room. But really, when you're going to have injuries, other teams have had them. It's a next man up mentality, and Farabee got a lot of games under his belt this year. Some of them were highly successful, and some of them he looked like a rookie. Those are the natural progressions of a young player, and I look forward to seeing the energy that he brings into the game tomorrow.
Buddy, who are you most worried about in the conference?
In the conference, Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay ball is to me is the scariest team. Their skill level is extremely high. Boston's a good team too. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they came in here. The Flyers had won 9 in a row back in March. They came in here and played a dynamite game with Tuukka Rask and Nets and beat the Flyers 2-0 to snap that skid before we went on hiatus for 4.5 months. So they're a good team. I mean, those four teams at the top, they're the four best teams in the conference.
Yeah.
I would say the sneaky Pete on the outside would probably have to be Pittsburgh again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if they get out of Montreal, they're just, you know, anytime you got Sidney Crosby on your team, you got to, you got yeah. stuff to worry about.
Yeah.
There's other teams playing well too, though, because you got Carolina.
Yeah.
They're playing
yeah.
really well.
Yeah.
The New York Islanders are playing really well. So, you know, it's a mixed bag, and it's a matter of just staying in the moment and trying to not worry about what's ahead of you, but what's presented in front of you. And I think that that's really one thing that Vigneault has done a great job with his team.
Chris Therrien with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. I love what the NHL's done, and they have staggered the games out of the bubbles. Out of the two bubbles, and you get all the games on television. It's been a lot of fun, man. I think they've done it the right way.
Yeah, they really have. I mean, listen, I didn't know what to expect. And I'll be honest with you, Anthony. I would say a month ago, I was still like, how are they going to do this? I wasn't sure. But the bubble appears to be the answer for both the NBA and the National Hockey League. It looks like they've done it right. The players seem to be focused and disciplined. That's an issue. You know, I don't think when you look at baseball, and we're both baseball guys too, but pretty clear that the Miami Marlins and the St. Louis Cardinals were out on the town somewhere.
Yeah.
And these things happen. I may have been a guilty party at one time myself.
But never.
But anyway, the bubble is not as much trouble as the outside world.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Hey, take us into your world for tomorrow. What's Bundy got going on?
Tomorrow's a busy day. The Flyers we're gonna have a pregame live on NBC Sports starting at 3 p.m. The game was I'll be on again with Katie Emmer, regular broadcast.
Love
tomorrow.
It.
Bill Jackson and Taryn Hatcher will have that. Also, though, Anthony, interesting, because the game was to be determined for so long, it's now a 4 p.m. start on NBC Sports Philadelphia. And anybody looking to supplement that broadcast can go to philadelphiaflyers.com/playoffs. That's philadelphiaflyers.com/playoffs to supplement the broadcast. So, big day. We'll have a post game after and intermissions, and looking forward to game two of the round robin. I think tomorrow, the Capitals Flyers will renew some haste and some nastiness in that one. Anytime Tom Wilson's in a game like that, you're going to be, there'll be some fireworks, I think, tomorrow. It'll be a good game.
I love it. I love it. I'll be with you, Bundy. You're the best, man. We love you, buddy.
Thanks, Todd. Love you guys, too. Appreciate you having me on.
There he
is.
Have
a great week.
You too, pal.
Go Flyers.
Go Flyers. There he is, Bundy.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.